From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. To begin today's program, we invite your attention to an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, part of a series in which Dr. Cairns answers various questions that are frequently raised by both Christians and unbelievers. Dr. Cairns is the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and his long experience in the pastoral and teaching ministry will help to provide insights into these areas of concern. A DVD containing all of these interviews is available at no charge from Let the Bible Speak. Ordering information will be given at the close of the broadcast. Now here is Dr. Cairns to answer the question, when did the gift of tongues cease?
Well, if the question is, did Paul not identify the time of the cessation of the charismatic gifts as being the coming of Christ? The answer is no, he didn't. He said, when that which is perfect has come, prophecies, etc., they'll fail. Tongues will peter out. Now, he identifies the period of that happening as that which is perfect. Now, the big question is, what does that refer to? Most people simply, glibly, jump to the conclusion, that's the coming of Christ. But is it? There are many arguments that could come into play here, but let's stick to the one thing that is very, very simple, and there's no mistaking of it. And I want to emphasize, I'm not sticking to the one because there's not quite a lot of others in 1 Corinthians 13. There's plenty to go around. But we read at the end of the chapter, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Now, understand, he's talking about that which is abiding, is faith, hope, and love. These things remain. The word abideth means these remain. He's speaking of this age and not the age to come. Now, follow me very carefully here. Now remain. That's this age. These are the things that are still remaining. But he has just talked about things that will cease, things that will not remain, but now remain in this age. He's not talking about a future age there at all. That contrast between that which is to cease and that which is to remain, what does that mean? Remain after the cessation of those things. In other words, there is a core. The essence of Christianity is still with us. The charismatic gifts were not of the essence of the faith. They were used of God at a time. But the essence remains. Now, if you understand that Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about some things that will stop or peter out, be taken away, and some things that will not stop, they will remain. You'll see immediately he's speaking of this present age. It can't be the future age, because Paul teaches us that when Jesus comes, faith gives place to sight. Hope, you don't, he says emphatically, you don't hope for what you have already received. And so when Christ comes, there's no more hope. Hope's finished. Christ is here. When he says, now remaineth faith, hope, love, these three, he's talking about remaining in this present age. Remaining because the other things have been taken away. Now, that shouldn't surprise us. Do you realize, some people have the notion, you know, that the Bible is just full of streams of miracles and great millions of miracles all the time. But it's not so. While there were individual demonstrations of miraculous power, yet there were only three periods in entire biblical history when there were multiple miraculous demonstrations. One was in the days of Moses. The next was in the days of Elijah and Elisha. And the third in the days of Christ and his apostles. Those were the three great periods of multiple manifestations of miraculous power. Not one of them, certainly the first two, did not last beyond a century. And that's true of the third one as well. So we shouldn't be surprised. Paul places the cessation of tongues and other charismatic gifts in this present age, not the future age. And as I indicated in answer to another question, they have ceased. The tongues have ceased. The charismatic gifts have ceased. God is working with power in answer to prayer among his people. I do not for a moment deny the reality of the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit of God in the ministry of his word. I look for that power. But these charismatic and miraculous gifts were for the apostolic age, and they're certainly not the ongoing experience of the church through the centuries, nor were they intended to be.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call while God is near. God abundantly will pardon those who turn to the Lord. Turn to the
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tamassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, we're featuring messages from a series he preached from Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Today, he continues a message entitled, Characteristics of Christian Leadership, Boldness. Now, here is the Reverend Armin Tamassian.
I just want to say from the outset, there are two ways of looking, especially from verse 3 down to verse 12, two ways of looking at what Paul is doing here. On the one hand, some see Paul as giving a self-description in light of the philosophical hucksters of the day. So he's saying, our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. So when he's saying, we're not like those philosophers that come through your city and try to basically deceive you. We're not like them. So in that way, it would be a self-description of themselves. But the other way of understanding Paul's language here is not a self-description, but a self-defense against personal attacks that were coming against him, trying to discredit his ministry. So he's either distinguishing himself from others or defending himself against others. And I'm not dogmatic. It seems to me, from my gleanings in preparation this week, is that the latter seems to be the strongest opinion, that Paul really is getting feedback that there's a little bit of influence either from outside the church amongst the Jews, or even perhaps internally in the church, voices rising up beginning to question the character of the Apostle Paul and his companions that came through Thessalonica to bring the gospel. And so, whatever the case, whether he's giving a self-description or a self-defense, it's really instructive to see what Paul says, what their manner was, what their character was as they came in before this city and before this people. You see, the devil knows, and certainly if this is the latter, if it's a matter there's been attack against Paul and his character, the devil knows that if you discredit the character of the preacher, then you can suck the power out of his ministry. Because all that he said and all that he sought to do, then you come and you undermine the character, and people just say, well, it was all with the wrong motive. And people begin to feed off this desire that there's a wrong motive, there's an underlying pretense there, and because of that, whatever he said can just be discredited, can just be forgotten about. So Paul, if that is indeed his motive, to give a self-defense, is writing in such a fashion so as to preserve the gospel that had been received. Because all that he had taught, all that he had sought to present before the people, if they just say, well, he was a bad character, a bad apple, then all the message he sought to present just falls away. There's no foundation. Isn't it amazing how, as we live in this world, there's a certain sense, and I say this advisedly and carefully, that truth is on a foundation of the character that presents it. That if you've already discredited the person, it doesn't really matter what they say. It happens in court all the time. It doesn't matter that he's a witness. We know other things in the past that would discredit the testimony of this individual. This morning, we're going to confine our thoughts to the opening two verses here, where we're going to draw from this first aspect of leadership that you see in the apostle and his companions, and that of that characteristic of boldness. And so I've just kind of titled it this way, Characteristics of Christian Leadership, Boldness, because we're going to see some other characteristics that will come forth, and it's really under this umbrella of characteristics of Christian leadership. And the first one simply this morning is boldness. And we're pulling it all around the language that we find in verse 2 when he says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. As we consider these characteristics, first note with me that bold leaders seize opportunities. Bold leaders seize opportunities. Now, before we get into looking at the text, we need to answer the question, what do we mean by the term boldness? What do we mean when we use the term boldness? What did Paul mean when he said we were bold in our God? What's he talking about? Well, first, it's not a personality trait. It's not what he's dealing with. A quiet, introverted person can be bold. And an outspoken, extroverted person can shrivel up at a key moment. So it's not a personal characteristic. It's not a trait of personality. Now, here's how I defined it. Boldness is a work of the Spirit of God that propels the Christian to witness for Christ at important junctures of opportunity. Boldness is a work of the Spirit of God that propels the Christian to witness for Christ at important junctures of opportunity. You can kind of see how that and folds around three thoughts. There's the certain power that needs to be there. That's the Spirit. There's a certain purpose. It is to witness. And a certain period, opportunities as they arise. The power is the Spirit. The purpose is to witness. And the period is when those opportunities arise in the providence of God. And those that exhibit boldness by nature, even as Christians, can often shrink if they're called upon to witness for Christ at a given moment. And yet those that are timid by nature, that know the Spirit of God upon them, can speak for Christ when opportunities arise. It's really a manifestation, you know, of what the Lord talked about in John chapter 15, verse 26, where he said there concerning the Spirit of God, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." He shall testify. I will send him forth, and he will testify of me, of Christ. And so boldness is a manifestation of the Spirit's testifying work through the life of the Christian. That as the Spirit has been put in this world to testify of Jesus Christ, one of the ways, one of the key and primary areas of doing this is in through the life of the Christian who is filled with the Spirit of God to witness for the Lord Jesus. Again, you don't have to have certain personality traits. I'm telling you that. And you need to understand it, because if we just cut ourselves off and say, "I'm not that kind of person," you're going to miss out on a lifetime of opportunities and blessings. I was saying to the folks on Wednesday night about what happened last Monday, so I'll just tell it again, basically, because I think it applies. On Monday, I was talking with my mother, and one of the things I asked her about was the health of her brother, my uncle, inquiring to see how he's doing. He's in hospital at present, and he's not doing very well. And my mom was relaying that, and I was inquiring a little more just to see to what extent he's not well and so on. And I said to her, I said, "Mom, someone needs to go and talk with him. Someone needs to share the gospel with him." And the way I told her, said to her and framed it was, someone needs to just go and sit down and say, "David, we need to have this conversation." Because she knows, and I know, we all know in the family, that his natural response is, as soon as you bring it up, away. And just dismiss it and turn away and not want to hear it. But to come and sit down and say, "Look, we have to have this conversation." Well, anyway, we discussed that and I was pressing. Someone needs to go. You need to go. My sister needs to go. Someone needs to go and talk to him before he gets worse with regard to his health. Well, she didn't really say very much. And then I got a text the next day from her. She was reading her, my stepfather reads the morning and evening. My mom always reads checkbook, Spurgeon's checkbook, but my stepfather always reads morning and evening, and he reads it to her. And for the evening, I think on Tuesday it was, for those of you who read it, you will know, that text from John chapter 1, where Andrew first findeth his brother Simon. He finds his brother Simon. Of course, we know, and Spurgeon begins to apply the need to bring the gospel to her family. Right there, he finds his brother. And so my mom was reading that, and she was like, "Okay," and she immediately responded to it. And she got on a train the next day, went down to the hospital, sat with him, talked with him, and brought the gospel to him. Now, my mom is not an extroverted bold character. Not at all. Very introverted, very quiet. But that is boldness incarnate. That's what it is. It's what it is in the life of a believer. When the Lord presses, when the Lord gives those opportunities, or you sense the Lord is telling you, "This is what I need you to do," and the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. It's your son and then Spurgeon. Well, away you go. Do what the Lord says. I'm thankful. I am so thankful for an example of a parent that is sensitive to the Spirit of God and will obey. What a trait. Thank the Lord. You don't have to be some kind of personality. Boldness is a work of the Spirit of God that propels the Christian to witness for Christ at important junctures of opportunity.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.